In Oakland, California, city leaders and residents are trying to come to grips with an escalating cycle of violence. There were 113 murders in 2002, the highest number since the early 90s. Most of the victims and suspects are young Black men. Mayor Jerry Brown points blame at ex-cons involved in drug turf battles. He has announced a crackdown on repeat offenders, and police have been issued a list of the city's most dangerous men. In the city's poor flatland neighborhoods, people are making their own effort to stop the killings, or just to cope. NPR's Richard Gonzalez reports.
One of the killing fields of Oakland is called Ghost Town, so named for the ghosts of the young people slain here over the years along this 10-block stretch of boarded-up shops, storefront churches, and wood-frame homes defended by iron bars. Both poverty and unemployment run high here, as does drug dealing. When 44-year-old Donald Lacey, a gregarious man with a broad chest and impish smile, looks around this West Oakland neighborhood, he says he hardly recognizes the town he grew up in. Lacey came of age in the late 60s and early 70s during the heyday of the Black Consciousness Movement.
I've been here most of my life since I was 8 months old when my family first moved to California from the Midwest. I mean, and it's a much different Oakland now than when I grew up. There was no such thing like this. And there was much more a sense of pride and collective responsibility and collective sharing and caring with each other than there exists now.
Lacey is sitting in a tiny office in a small bungalow heated only by a kitchen stove. This is the home of the Love Life Foundation, a group Lacey created to mentor Oakland youth. This wasn't his original plan. Lacey was pursuing his career dreams as a comedian and actor for stage and TV when Oakland's street violence struck home. 5 years ago, his 16-year-old daughter, Luisha, was gunned down while sitting in a parked van talking with friends.
Everybody knew who the killers were. I had offers around the clock for people to kill them as revenge for her, but, you know, what good does that do? You know, that's not going to bring her back. And too often the times in these kind of murders, that's how it keeps escalating. So my thinking was, after much prayer and soul searching with myself, is that somebody's got to stand up and say, okay, it's enough is enough. Because, I mean, where does it end?
Lacey's answer was to love life by organizing at-risk youth and drawing them into a range of activities, theater and media arts, street marches against violence, and campaigns for handgun trade-ins. On a recent Saturday morning, Lacey rises to embrace some of the young people he now calls his own.
Well, look at you. What you got on the top? What was your interview, man?
The young people are just a blessing to me. And although I feel like I lost one, I feel like I've gained thousands, literally. Whenever I go somewhere, you know, hey, aren't you Luisha's father? Aren't you Mr. Lacey? Yeah. And that just really, you know, it just keeps me going. It really does.
One of the Love Life members is Angela Davenport, a vivacious 19-year-old aspiring actress who makes ends meet bagging groceries. It's been a tough year for Davenport. Earlier this fall, two childhood friends were slain in separate incidents.
It's like you can't get up in the morning. It's like you're laying there and you're just stuck in a zone. And after a while, after so many people die before you, it's like, whoa, you know. So after a while, you're just like, okay, that's the next person. Who's next?
Since September, Donald Lacey has been involved with a new group that has emerged to stem the violence. Every weekend, about 100 African-American professionals, who call themselves Black Men First, patrol neighborhoods such as Ghost Town. They try to engage loitering drug dealers and persuade them to leave the business. Black Men First won't allow reporters to join them, but engineering contractor Joe Debro agreed to talk about conversations he's had on the street.
The reason they're killing is they don't have hope. And I think when you take hope away from people, they don't have anything to live for.
Debro says when he was growing up in Oakland, there were jobs available in the cannery. Now the working class neighborhoods don't have much work.
And if you say to somebody to stop selling dope and stop killing and stop shooting, that person says to you, and do what? And we don't have an answer for that. We don't have any jobs.
Back at the Love Life Foundation, Donald Lacey nods his head. He's heard these stories too. And yet, even as the city's murder rate climbs, Lacey insists no one in Oakland who cares can afford to give up.
There was a great speech that I believe it was Bishop Tutu made, and he said, I'm a prisoner of optimism.
Lacey turns back to his computer to lay out a flyer. It advertises plans for a march in a few weeks through West Oakland in memory not only of his daughter, Loisha, but of all the young people who died in Oakland this year. Richard Gonzalez, NPR News, Oakland, California.